Welcome to the only one-shot studios, and that's located in the great state of Mississippi. That was Steve Azar from his album Indianola. That was The Coach. You can find Steve Azar on steveazar.com. He's got some new stuff coming out, so check him out. You can check us out on Instagram, Only One Shot. Yeah, it's a cool, some neat pics. So we're working on that site. But I'm Jim Gallagher Jr., and I'm your host. I'll be with VJ Trolio. He'll be the co-host, or sometimes he even hosts. I played the PGA Tour from 1984 to 2000, spent the next few years at home with my family, played the PGA Tour Champions Tour for a while. Now I'm a golf analyst for the Golf Channel. You can find me on Instagram at Gallagher Jr. and on Twitter at Gallagher Jr. GC. So what is Only One Shot? Well, that's a book written by VJ Trolio, who I mentioned is my co-host. And he's the teacher at Old Waverly Golf Club, West Point, Mississippi. He's a top 100 teacher in the country. He was a good player in college, played professionally for a while, and now teaches. Teaches some of the best junior players, college players, and even works some tour players. Does about it all. Has written three other books, and to me, he's one of the best teachers, I think, in the Southeast, no question about it, and a very bright mind, very energetic, really gets it, really grown as a teacher. And we want to get the word out on how elite, competitive, gritty, and healthy competitors are made. And I want to welcome back Mr. VJ Trolio.
Thank you, Jim.
Author of Only One Shot. Where do they get this book?
Yeah, they get it on Amazon. Yeah, just go to Amazon and search for Only One Shot.
Write a review, too, because that helps, doesn't it? If you like
if
it.
If it's a good review.
If you don't like
if
it, then...
If it's not a good review,
yeah,
then
don't do,
skip.
Don't worry about it. Just avoid this.
But, that's right.
We've talked about a lot of things, and this is another podcast number 8. We've hit everything from beginners to junior golfs, the expenses mm-hmm. that goes with it, some of the processes, some guidelines through it. Now we're just going to talk about a player that... or just people in college golf.
Yeah.
And you've made that transition from junior golf.
Yeah.
And now you've gone to college golf. So you've gone from the big fish in the little bitty pond, and now you're in the big pond, and everybody's good.
Little fish, yeah.
Talk about that transition. You've dealt with a lot of junior players, I mean, and yourself even. There's a big transition.
Really, it gets really, really super-duper simple. Collectively as a whole, college players stand on the range and try to see how well they can hit their 5-irons and drivers. They become speed freaks. They stop hitting their wedges and stop working on knockdown shots. Their putting practice is intermittent, and they get themselves in trouble that way.
Is that, you find that men and the women?
Collectively as a whole.
Doesn't matter if it's
way too much time spent, 5-irons and drivers, trying to swing at it perfect, not nearly enough time on wedges, scoring clubs, and knockdown shots.
Why is that, you think?
I think that anytime you get a bunch of kids together on a driving range making noise, mm-hmm. even if it wasn't golf, they would just stand there and try to get louder with it and make more noise with it. So I think that that's one of the things that a lot of college coaches, I know I've heard complaints over the years.
But they build these multi-million-dollar facilities,
no doubt.
Practice facilities.
But I've heard these complaints from these coaches over the years that have come back to me, and they say, well, he's just terrible with his wedges. Or he just struggles in the wind. Knockdown shots aren't good. And then when the athlete comes in to see me, I'm like, but hey, you know, how are your wedges? Oh, they're good. They're good. It's just my 5-iron.
So how do you – I mean, you got a kid away. Say, like Kathleen, my daughter, played at LSU. So she's, what, 5 hours plus from you?
Sure.
I mean, how do you deal with a – player leaving you?
Well, you try to build a really good plan. You know, you try to build, make sure that when they get to their place of employment, that they have a good plan where it's like, okay, cool, this is me getting ready, here's my points of emphasis. In a perfect world, all my athletes, and you know this from me working with Kathleen, it's like you would start putting and then go to chipping and then work backwards like every day. And I'm not saying you'd practice hours and hours of 3-6-9 drills or anything, but I mean, I think I know for a fact, just from looking at a lot of 3D, that everything's interrelated. So how somebody putts and how they chip and how they swing, it all looks about the same, right?
Well, I've heard people say, you know, maybe I'm not on the same page as you, but you know, your golf swing and your putting stroke, they kind of almost mirror.
They do.
Yeah.
And so if somebody has a tendency to, you know, tilt backwards in their full swing, then you're going
to
see that tilt in their
putting stroke.
Why is
that? That's interesting.
Well, because it's golf so hard that you only use one motor pattern. Mm. I mean, it's really hard. Mm. So you're not going to have 50.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get the ball going efficiently as you can. Anyway, And what typical college players do is they do the opposite of that. So they, you know, they sit in class all day. Of course they're young, but they sit in class all day. They may or may not get very functional by the time they get there. As soon as they get there, they get loose hitting 7 irons and 5 irons. Coach might make them practice some wedges. But more times than not, especially in this day and age, we're going to see iPhones out. We're going to see them hitting golf balls, trying to send drivers.
So you got a coach that's maybe a good instructor. Now you've got an instructor at home. Every kid, for the most part, that gets to, especially D1 level, has an instructor. Or every junior player that's got any level of college golf has got some instructor at home. Do you communicate with the specific coach and what you're trying to work on? I mean, how do they work with their coach?
Yeah,
I mean, this is advice for the kid. This is or the parents.
Yeah, when I look back over my experiences with college coaches and with college athletes, I think the ones that hurt the worst are when the coach is not honest with me. And I'm sure the college
coach. What do you mean
by that? I'm sure the college coach feels the same way. So, you know, if a college coach is having a problem with something that I'm asking an athlete to do, if they just pick up the phone and say, listen, he doesn't understand and I don't understand either. She doesn't understand and I don't understand either. We need some clarification on this because her ball is pushing. Those are pretty easy to get over. The hard ones are when the coach is over there kind of nitpicking around, doesn't like the situation, doesn't like the movement or whatever you're asking the athlete to do. And then the athlete in turn gets caught in between their swing instructor and their college coach.
That's a difficult spot
that is a recipe for disaster.
You've seen it firsthand.
Yes, I've seen it firsthand. I've been a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that from an instructor standpoint, my standpoint, is like I love it when I can get the information to the coach, mm-hmm. like in Kathleen's case.
Right.
Get the information to the coach on what the athlete should be doing, have a good plan for the athlete. The athlete to be able to say, this is the reason I'm doing this, is to get rid of this shot and to increase my ability to hit this shot. And then the coach and the athlete then send me stats, send me video, and say, hey, you know, we're seeing this. This is her moving. We're seeing this. This is him moving. So I think that from an instructor's lifeblood to the athlete is that college coach. And the college coach and the instructor need to have a very working relationship.
They're like another set of eyes.
100%.
So to speak.
And their eyes, they're getting paid. You know, here's the thing. The college coach is getting paid based on how well that athlete performs.
Mm-hmm. And they've built a $5 million facility. Used to be, it was a van driver. That's not that anymore.
No, it's not that anymore.
And they've got pressure on them to perform and recruit.
The instructor is getting paid based on how the athlete performs.
Right.
The athlete feels good or bad based on how they perform. So as long as everybody's like trying to make the athlete better, college golf is great.
Don't you think, I think it's general, when it becomes about the coach or it becomes about the instructor or the parent, we've lost our way. Because it's got to be about the athlete, the player, the junior golfer, the college player. It's got to be about them. Not that you're putting them on a pedestal.
No.
But it's got to be about them, that mindset, and be aware of that. If you're a coach, if you're a parent out there or an instructor, you have to make sure their failures aren't a reflection, nor are their successes. So it's a fine tightrope
that they walk. It should always be about the athlete.
Yeah, I agree. And I think another thing is, you know, you got a player who's been an individual. She's played junior golf. It's all about me.
Sure.
Now you've got a team environment.
Sure.
And me personally, I don't think you can force chemistry. It has to come naturally. What advice have you told some of your students who've gone on to college play, who maybe was top player in the country, or one of them? Now they go to a school and they got to be part of a team. They got to beat their roommate out for a spot. Have you given them any advice? Have you had that experience where that's kind of been an issue, or has it gone pretty smoothly? No, it has not gone smoothly. I can tell you. I can sense that in your voice. I'm going to tell you that.
It's a rocky road, and it really depends on the culture they grew up in. Mm. So if you have a kid that grew up predominantly playing one sport and they're a single child, and they go to college, get ready. If you have
saying other sports helps.
If you have a kid that grew up in a house had six other siblings, mm-hmm. and played multiple sports as a kid, understands how to get around things when it's not all going their way and how to handle those emotions, then it's not as bad. So each individual presents its own case. A lot of your high-end athletes, just like as your dad discusses in the book, a lot of your high-end athletes, a lot of the attention, the crosshairs of all that attention and all that investment is on that athlete from the time they're 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. So by the time they get to college golf, right, they've had the spotlight. Well, it's been on them, and now they're playing college golf, and the spotlight's on 6 or 7. And I think it's the healthiest thing in the whole wide world.
You do, so you don't feel that pressure's too much for...
No, I think,
it's okay.
I think it's the healthiest thing in the whole wide world to get into a situation where you're now part of a team, because I've been at Old Waverly for 20 years, and I'm a part of a team at Old Waverly. I'm just a teaching pro. There's a head pro. There's a director of golf. There's assistant pros. There's cart boys. There are... we have a CFO, so we're all a part of the team. Mm-hmm. We have chefs, and we have this and that.
But you have one common cause.
Which is Old Waverly.
Right.
That's right. And so I think it's very healthy for the kids to go to college golf and to go through that. I'm so old school that I worry about the kids nowadays that you see skip college golf altogether.
Yes.
That's worrisome to me.
Why is that?
Because, like... like you said, you're one swing away from an injury.
Okay.
Right. So imagine having it all about you until you're 27, 28 years old, and you blow out your knee, or you have hip replacement surgery. It doesn't work out right, and now all of a sudden you are a 29-year-old that has to go join the workforce.
Yeah. How do you get there?
Now you've got to go from, I've had 28 years of it all being about me, to all of a sudden now I walk into an office and it's all about us.
Right.
So
I also think, for me, I think it's that experience. I mean, I want everybody to go to school. I want to get a degree.
Sure.
But it's not going to happen in all cases. But you at least give it a year or two to experience somewhat being on your own, making your own decisions. Yeah. You don't have your mom and dad or a coach or a... fitness person on you have that in college,
yeah.
But you don't have them making those decisions for me all the time. Now the coach makes a lot of those decisions,
yeah.
But you still have to make some individual decisions. Mm-hmm. You have to grow up some.
Mm-hmm.
You have to experience making those learning time management skills. But what I see is a lot of them, they come out, we've seen several turn pro at 18 years old, and they've got a team of people doing everything for them. The problem with that also, to me, you get on the PGA Tour or the LPGA or wherever, you're 18, and these folks are 25, 28 years old. You have nothing in common with them. It's a lonely island out there by yourself. So I think you need to be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm an 18-year-old. Where are my friends? Well, they're in college. And so it's a lonely world, and that's probably for another – and we talk about it.
And I'll give you data, too. I've had two players that I've coached be first-team All-Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them got to the LPGA and the PGA Tour. I've had no other junior golfer I've ever coached get to the LPGA or PGA Tour. I've had three others get to the Web Tour.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do in college follows you.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's because of a self-image standpoint or if it's because of a, hey, I've been here, done this. But I think if you go to college and you bust them up, then you're going to have a... From what I've seen, you're going to have, if you're a first-team All-American, you're going to have a very good chance of playing.
Well, you beat the guys in college, you're going to be able to play at that level.
That's right.
But you've grown for 4 years learning how to, and I know I keep harping on it, it's time management. You make the decisions on your own.
Sure.
I mean, it's the basic everyday life, because when you go to the PGA Tour, and it's changed since I play, I mean, they got a courtesy car, they got this. I mean, a lot of these kids, if they don't have, they can't even rent a car, they're not old enough. Yeah, you can, but you're going to pay three times as much. So, that's a big thing. Here's another thing. Throw this at you, and I've seen it. It's worked out. Say you're in college and you turn pro, but you don't make it. Where are you going to play? Because you have to have competition. So you turn. I've seen guys turn pro after the first semester, and they're going out in January. Where are they going to play?
Golf is the most capitalistic of sports.
I mean, it's my personality,
because really
I live a little more in fear. I mean, that's just my number six on the Enneagram, which is a whole other podcast that I'm not going to get into. But, I mean, I kind of, you know, I make decisions based on that. And I just think like that's like, well, man, I can't imagine doing that. But we all did
well,
it.
You, yeah, you played mini tours. Yeah, I played. I never had my PGA Tour card or my web card. You know, so the little professional golf that I did play before being a PGA member and playing there, not PGA Tour member, PGA right. of America okay. member, right? Club Pro, was on mini tours. And, I mean, you know, I mean, it's...
You learn a lot. When it's your last
you
meal,
learn really quick, and you can take anybody. I've seen this. You can take people that have web status or have PGA Tour status and start slipping and play mini tours, mm-hmm. and are like, "Wow, this
same for me.
This is these guys are just about as good as those other guys."
Yeah, and they're hungry.
But there is a definitive difference.
And what is that?
It has something to do with self-image.
Okay.
It has something to do with this college golf thing we're talking about. It has something to do with winning at every level, because even though those guys out there that run around playing the minis that never really make it aren't much worse, you know, mm-hmm. like on paper, on ball flight, on all this, it's not like they're inefficient compared to some of the best players, you know, like the number 90 on the money list every year on the PGA Tour. But they don't make it, and it's some self-image situation that's created.
Self-confidence or
it's
whatever
self-confidence,
it is.
Yeah. Self-image, whatever you want to say. And that's more the reason of this maturity thing that you're talking about college golf, of going to college, learning about your serve, learning how to be efficient.
Here's another thing. Also balancing education. That's a big thing
time
for
management.
Kids. That's part of the time management.
You know, having the chance to have another set of eyes, like a good coach, talk to you about the importance of wedge player and the importance of flighting golf balls, not spending all this time trying to make your golf swing perfect. So it's a real good chance to grow up and to compete with people and great players on somebody else's dime, mm-hmm. right? You're not having to pay for the event. The university is. And I think it's, you know, ultimately – one of the greatest things about amateur sports in our country.
You know, you talk about, and we've seen it, I mean, there are some top programs where the coach has a equipment contract, specific ball, specific club.
Yeah.
Now you've got a kid that plays golf ball A, goes to college, but his coach has
And that's
golf
one of those questions
B.
that parents have to know to ask when they go there. You know, is my kid going to be able to play ping irons, or are they going to have to play Titleist?
Right.
Is my kid going to be able to play a Titleist golf ball?
Or a Callaway ball?
Or are they going to have to play Bridgestone?
Right. TaylorMade. I mean, those are questions you have to ask. And
you'd have to be really smart to ask them, but yeah.
That's why we're doing this. We want to give right. you that. That probably should have come up in one of the other ones, but this is about college golf. And
yeah.
So maybe you ask, you know, and if you're listening to this, you've probably either have a kid playing, but you got to have, this is for the people before.
Yeah.
Because it happens. I mean,
yeah. How many people are going to be in your roster?
Yeah.
You know, what are we looking at? Are we, you mm-hmm. know, because rosters will ebb and flow,
right?
You know, based on what's going on with the coach and who they recruited. So, you know, is my kid going to be on a team with 13 players,
mm-hmm.
or is my kid going to be on a team with 8 players?
Where are they going to practice? Where are they going to play? I mean, there's so many.
How
things.
How far is the place driving. That they're practicing yes. from their dorm, from their university?
It's back to that proximity.
It's right. Back
it started
proximity.
As a junior golfer. It's also in college. This thing follows you everywhere you go.
It follows you. Proximity follows you.
And that's
everywhere.
The beauty of your book, Only One Shot, that's available on Amazon. And you did a great job of that. And you point those out in this book. And those are the things.
Some
that,
of them, yeah.
That we want to get out for that. I mean, you've got, you know, like we said, we've got players out there. I mean, say the kid, you know, he wants to turn pro, but he's still in college. I mean, how do you, we hit on it a little bit. They want to turn pro after their sophomore year. Do you encourage them to do that? I mean, is there not a gauge, but how do you help them determine that?
If you're asking me, it's the first team All-American.
Who's won 3 or 4 tournaments and dominated.
Right. So
just like you did at state level.
100%.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you're a first team All-American and you've dominated, if you're an NCAA champion, if you're a USGA champion, okay.
Yeah.
You know, go. But if you're like I was, I won one college event. Mm-hmm. I was never a first team All-American. So when I came out of college, I was like, here I come. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I was like, there I go.
There we go, yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's you just look at the data itself and you go, all right, you know, am I really ready for this? And it's sort of like parenting. Like, are you ever ready for a kid? Is anybody ever ready to turn professional? I would certainly say that if your P's and Q's are in line and you've dominated, or done really well at a college level to the point where you've won multiple times, first team All-American. Hey, let's go. Let's get after it. But don't win one event your sophomore year.
You decide I want to turn pro.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. And I'm not saying that's a bad idea because of my opinion. I'm saying that's a bad idea because of me being a coach for 20
that's
years.
That's what I'm talking about. This is not about you as a dad or you. It's about you as an instructor. You've seen it, and it's advice to give to those folks. And, I mean, it's an interesting dilemma that we're seeing in all their other sports, and now it's gone into golf. We see it a lot on the women's side that they come over and they're turning pro at 18 and they've had great success. And, and the game is –
their culture is
the
different.
The game is worldwide now. Let's not get
and their culture is typically different than an American culture. An American culture is a bit more let's get the kids, let's get them going, let's invest in them, let's get them to college. Okay, now it's – you know, now it's – okay, it's your turn. We've done this. And in a lot of other cultures, not a lot of other cultures, but speaking specifically of you alluded to the girls coming over and playing golf. In cultures outside the United States, and in some cultures inside the United States, in some households, it's more of they will keep investing in those. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They invest in their children forever, you know. And so that comes down to the individual's culture of the home, the parent is like, are you in this forever? Mm-hmm. Right. So are you going to be there? You know, they have a 15-year career on the PGA Tour. Are you going to be there every year? Is that going to be your 30 weeks out of the year forever?
Right.
Or are you more of, hey, let's get them to college and let the college coach take off? Right. So there's some bullet points there. We probably need to summarize real quick. And I think the first one is college players need to remember wedges and flight and golf shots. You know, still practice from the green
basics,
backwards.
Yeah.
Right, basics. Don't fall in love with your iPhone and how your swing looks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your college coach and your swing instructor, get them together. Let them
same
see,
page.
Let them be on the same page.
Yeah.
That really is helpful. And if the college coach doesn't like the swing instructor, let's be on that page too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just call him and say, honest. I don't like anything you're doing.
Right.
If the instructor doesn't like the college coach, again, call him and say, I don't like anything you're doing. You know, just be on the same page. Be for the athlete. It's going to, because the kid and the parent don't need to be caught in the middle.
No, and they get caught in the middle.
They get caught in the middle all the time because the swing instructor, people like me, and the college coach won't just have their meeting behind the scenes. Let the college coach be really good at what he does or she does. And let the swing instructor be really good at what he or she does. Following that, don't be in a hurry to play on the PGA Tour or the LPGA Tour. Don't be in a hurry. It's not going anywhere. It will still be there.
Yeah.
Prove to yourself and prove to some of these huge awards committees that you are that good.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you get to the PGA Tour, you're going to find people that are very, very good. Now, you can always go find somebody that's aloof, at 122 on the money list, half asleep. You can go find them at a PGA Tour event and be like, man, these guys aren't very good. But you can also go to the back of that leaderboard and go watch those guys play, right?
Right.
Go watch who's winning that week, and you'll be like, you'll be amazed.
It's kind of like, is your book's titled Only One Shot? Well, you got only one shot in life. You got only one shot teaching your kids, and you may only have one shot at junior golf to college golf. So what will you do with it? How will you take advantage of it? And that's the end of this podcast, and we're going to let Steve Azar take us home with the coach.
What were you thinking on that play? Take a lap, and when you come back, maybe